God can work through our lives in mysterious ways sometimes. I don't know about you, I've had times where something I've said or something that I have done has actually impacted people's lives and I didn't even know it. Didn't even know what I had said or done that made such a difference. I've had it happen even here after Mass. Somebody will come up and say to me, "Were you looking right at me when you were preaching? How did you know?" "You said exactly what I needed to hear." And then they'll tell me, I said, "What did I say?" And they'll tell me what I said that was so meaningful. And I'll be honest, I never said that. I don't think I said that. But they heard it in a way that made a difference in their life. God works in mysterious ways through our lives. I remember sitting with a family at the hospital at Fairview Southdale as the father had a heart attack and we were waiting together in the waiting room. I was there with the family for over an hour as they worked on him, and then he died, and I was with the family through that visiting the person who had died. And all during that time, I really didn't say a word other than, "Would you like a Kleenex?" They were crying. And when it was all done, he did die, and I was with the family through that, and we said goodbye. The wife came up to me, and she said, "Thank you for everything you said. It made such a difference." God can work through our lives in mysterious ways. God is choosing people. And as we look in the scriptures, God is choosing some of the most unlikely people in the world to be his instruments. God chooses enslaved people. God chooses the unfertile women. God chooses the youngest son, not the oldest son. Today we have this God choosing the leader of the foreign power that has been oppressing the people of Israel, and Isaiah is saying, "He is my chosen one. He is going to be my instrument to carry out my plan, but he doesn't even know it." As he goes about his life as the leader of the Babylonian Empire and thinking what would be good governance and how to manage these people and letting them go back to their homeland, he doesn't even know that he's doing the work of God. And yet he is God's instrument in this mysterious and profound way beyond his own understanding. This weekend we're celebrating World Mission Day. This is a day celebrated throughout the universal church, and it's a day for us to lift up this and proclaim this truth that we are a missionary people, and that at the heart of the church is mission. That we are sent into the world to proclaim good news to the poor, God's saving plan to the world. And the reason that we are missionary is because that's the way God is. Our God is a missionary God. And our God has a plan. And God is choosing instruments, choosing individuals, choosing communities, choosing life circumstances to carry forth this image, this vision, that as we hear today in the reading, "I am the Lord, and there is no other." We are all created in the image and the likeness of God. And to the degree that we can allow that image to be blazoned on us, we begin to see that we are related because of that image. Whatever differences we have on the surface cannot take away the fact that we are all made in this image of God. All of creation, God is the source of all life. And in a sense, God's mission is the first commandment. "I am the Lord your God. Do not have strange gods before you." Allow God to be the source of our lives. Allow that to penetrate us. And God is trying to call forth instruments to bring that message all over the world. All the other gods cannot hold that much weight. And so to be able to call forth people to reveal this message, I am the Lord, and there is no other. This is really the vocation of the church. Vatican II said that the church is an instrument of God's grace. We are a kind of sacrament, it says. The church is a sign of what God is trying to do all the time. To be an instrument in ways that we may know and not even know, to be a living sign, an instrument of what God is calling the world to, calling all nations to himself, calling all creation to himself, to be reconciled to this truth. There is one God. There is the Lord, and there is no other. And so in a sense, we are asked to be that instrument. You know, instruments, they're a vehicle. They make other things possible. Musical instruments, it's what happens. It's what you blow through, and music comes out the other end. The vehicle for the vision. The church is that vehicle to allow the breath of the Spirit to blow through us, that we would allow that truth to blow through us. I am the Lord, and there is no other. Today in the gospel, we see the opposite of what happens when instead of allowing ourselves to be the instrument of God, we turn God into an instrument for us so we can toot our own horn. The Pharisees and the Herodians, it says, comes together to trap Jesus. And they're using God's ways, and they're using their religion and their status as a way to manipulate Jesus for their own purposes. They are being trapped in the second commandment. Thou shalt not use the Lord's name in vain. Whenever we use God for our purposes so that we can toot our own horn, they trap him. We get trapped in that sometimes ourselves in the second commandment in subtle ways and sometimes not so subtle ways, where we forget that the Lord is the Lord and there is no other. And yet what is amazing is that Jesus uses the trap of the second commandment to restore the first. And he does it by just stating, what is it that belongs to God? Give to God what belongs to God. And if you stay with that a while, maybe even ask it as a question, what is it that belongs to God? Ultimately, you come to the conclusion, everything. I am the Lord and there is no other. You have been created in my image and likeness. I am the source of all life. So Jesus, in a sense, restores the first and uses the trap as a means to teach the truth of the first. I was thinking in this World Mission Sunday how missionaries often go into places, especially the first time, where the name of God, the name of Christ has not been spoken before, how they will go in often to begin in sometimes subtle ways. And one of the first missionaries I met was a fellow named Father Gerard Kohler. He's a St. Paul guy. And he went into the missionaries of the Holy Ghost Fathers, the Holy Spirit Fathers. And he told me the story how they went into East Africa in the early 60s to work with the Maasai people. And they didn't go in really, you know, out in front of everything. They just went and lived amongst the people, tried to understand their language and to be able to come to know them and people. And as they began to see ways that they could serve, they would offer service. So if they saw there was a need to help with hygiene, and they would offer some teachings and help around better ways to clean and health care. They thought they could help in terms of farming, some tools that might help to improve the farming. And as they began to help in these ways, these small ways amongst the people, the word got back to the chief about these white fathers who were doing these things amongst the people, and the chief said, I want to talk to them. So they were called in to see the chief. And the chief says, "Why are you doing these things?" And he says, "Well, we are disciples of another chief. We call him Jesus Christ. And because of the way he loved us, he sends us forth to go and to show that love with others, with our neighbors all over the world. And we're trying to follow him. We are his witnesses." And the chief says, "Oh, this is amazing. Your chief sounds very impressive. I want to meet your chief. Bring him to me." And they said, "Well, he died 2,000 years ago. But we are his witnesses today, still bringing forth his message." And then the chief looked sad. He said, "You mean to tell me you had this good news all this time, and you didn't tell me until now? What took you so long?" Today, as we gather around the table of the Lord, we come to allow the Spirit of God to blow through us, that we might be instruments of God's grace, that like the song says, may the Spirit of God melt us and mold us and fill us and use us. Today, let us receive that mystery that we are part of in this Eucharist, and let us become that mystery. Allow the Spirit to flow through us. People are waiting to hear the good news. I am the Lord. There is no other.